Welcome in, kia ora, to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. Here on the mics, per usual, we got Los and Walls. Los, how's this All-Star week coming along for you?
What is up, Podfather fam? Episode 24, the Kobe episode. Shout out Kobe, Rip. My favorite athlete of all time. It's good, man. Well, much needed break. I feel like I've gone to more games this year than I've ever gone. So just like the players need some break and rest from some baseball, I needed it. At the same time, I miss it. The All-Star game is cool and all. I'm glad we had four guys make it, but five guys, I guess, technically. Thank you for correcting me, Walls. But I don't know. I it doesn't really do it for me. The Home Run Derby's cool. Yesterday was pretty awesome. It was a bummer to see Ohtani go down in the first round, but it was definitely the most hyped one I've seen in a while. I was actually counting down the hours for it to start off, but it's going pretty good. I'm excited to get the second half rolling. But before we do that, today we are going to talk a little stats, but really just kind of give our thoughts, our feelings on the first half. How are you doing though, Walls? I know you're still working on the house. I know you were recently doing some flooring. Pretty That's exciting.
True. That is very true. Yep. Me and my girlfriend have been installing the entire house's flooring. We wanted to rip up the old stuff. Wasn't suffice to our standards. So we're installing that ourselves right now. Getting towards the tail end, thank goodness, because it's been about 3 weeks or so of doing it ourselves. So, you know, definitely paying off though, saving a little bit of money, learning a bunch. Looks like it's gonna look pretty cool.
Is it on schedule? Are you under budget?
It's coming from the engineer. He's gonna whip out his Excel, or what's that, Microsoft Access, probably what those engineers use. Yeah. It is on time right now, and it is slightly under budget. However, I expect us to go slightly over budget by the time we're done, just with the little additions here and there. You always think that, you know, oh, we could get away with not doing that, and then it just kind of bugs you and you get it done anyways. But on time, slightly under budget, which is good. Ask me that question in about 2 weeks and I'll either be really excited or I'll be super pissed off. So
who's the project manager and who's the interior designer of the two? Is it mid-century modern? Do we have some kind of coastal theme going on? Give the people a little walkthrough.
Give you a little insight. Well, first of all, we got the Podfather Studio coming along, like we said. So yep, that's going to be a little bit of a little asset there in the top there. Top of the house, got a little studio above the kitchen, so overlooking the whole place, pretty cool. Going with a little bit more of a modern and a slightly, I guess, modern farm look in a sense. So a lot of whites, a lot of grays, a little bit of black accents here and there. Putting in a couple barn doors, which would be sick, to the hallway. So yeah, have a little cool accents and whatnot. We'll provide some pics maybe on the Twitter feed, maybe not, just in case.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be cool. Let the people know what Walls is working with, you know.
Yeah, you know, we'll probably do a couple live shows too, maybe here in the future up in the studio. So maybe that comes with a little virtual house tour, who knows. Be like a little Zillow on your Apple or Spotify app, whatever you prefer.
But maybe people will finally know what we look like if we do a live show. our Twitter thing has been Trent Grisham flipping off the camera for the last year, so
which is still the greatest Abby, I feel like, out there. So many people use it, but I love it. And you know, it might not be such a bad thing, you know. Yeah. Maybe you'll recognize Los's silky smooth voice at the game yelling at an opposing team or something like that and be like, that's the Podfathers right there.
That's him. That's the golden voice. On that note, we'll give you guys a couple first half stats. Weekly, we usually give you guys the player stats, so we won't really dive into those too much. We'll talk awards today, but really just our thoughts. I mean, right now we're sitting at 53-40, good for third in the NL West. 6 games back of the Giants, who continue to just play really good baseball. And that record's good for 8th best record overall in the major leagues. Couple splits for you. We're 33-19 at home. The energy just continues to be incredible. Gone a couple games recently during the week, on the weekend, day games, and it's just basically a full house every night, and everyone is on the edge of their seats every pitch. So can't put to words how much that helps the team, the energy it brings to the team. And it's obvious when you have a 33-19 at home record, which is the best in baseball. Away, not as good, 20-21, but nothing to scoff at. That's pretty solid, and about what you would expect for an away record. RDIF plus 75, which is pretty outstanding and good for 6th best in baseball. And then, I mean, they're playing good ball when they play good teams. 28-21 so far on the season against teams greater than 500. Walls, what are your thoughts so far? Speak to me. How are you feeling about this team through the first half?
So first off, I think that we are an extremely streaky team, both good and bad. So we saw remnants of that last year where we got off to a pretty slow start. I think we were like 11-12 to start the year. And then we ended up with the best win percentage in franchise history, albeit with the 60-game season. And so who knows, you know, if you add 100 games to that, I guarantee you there'll be a lot of lows after that and a lot of highs. And you're kind of seeing that this year. So either way, I mean, you could see us rattle off 11 straight and you can see us lose 6 straight, and it keeps going back and forth. So hopefully looking to get a little bit more consistency here in the second half of the season. And really that all in all comes down to the hitting being a little bit inconsistent. The pitching has been there for the most part, and obviously you're going to have good and bad days. But the hitting does need to have a little bit more consistency to it, in my opinion. Love to see the fact that we are doing well against teams above 500, because come playoffs, if we make it, which I think we will, we think that they will, but you know, still got to get there. It's good to be able to play the good teams well and not just have a great record against really crappy teams and, you know, not so good against those big dogs. So good to see that. But with that being said, we got to take care of the teams that are under 500 in that essence, especially in the division. Haven't been performing too well against the Rockies as of late. They are horrendous away from home, and we lost 2 out of 3 to them this past weekend just before the All-Star break. So good to see a little bit of break. You mentioned earlier when we were opening that it's a good break for you and just really the fans in general, and obviously the players too. We were kind of scuffling a little bit, picking up a few injuries here and there. So good to see that break. I would like to see the away record a little bit better, at least. 500's decent, like you said. But yeah, come the end of the season, if we could be 6 to 8 games above 500 away, I think that'll really increase our chances of locking in that playoff spot. Potentially nabbing the first, you know, seed in our division, but, you know, more to come on that. We'll see how we do in the second half. And then, like you said, 23-17 against the NL West, room for improvement there, because we've been so good against the Dodgers that you think, looking at it, that we would actually be maybe like 25-15, something like that. Still a great divisional record, but we are picking up some losses against the Diamondbacks, who have been terrible this year. And like I said, with the Rockies too, especially at home against the Rockies, and even in Colorado recently, they've been fantastic at home, but we still lost a series against them a couple weeks ago. So we'd like to see a little bit of improvement there. But overall, if you were to tell me even 2 years ago, even last year, that we'd be 53-40 going into the halfway point, quote unquote, in the season, I would take it in a heartbeat. So I think we've had a great first half of the year, got to continue that on and hopefully just kind of smooth out the dips that we have along the way and just build up that momentum to October, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's funny. You hear the record, and had you told anyone who's a Padres fan that would be 53-40 at the break, they would be ecstatic. It's the best record since we went to the World Series in 98. I think in franchise history. So overall, just period, best record or second best. But it's been a frustrating ride. Like you said, it's just been so streaky. The homestand where we went 9-0 looked like the best team in baseball. And then we go and get swept by the Rockies. Even in this past weekend, we lose 2 of 3 to the Rockies. We lose the 2 games going into the playoff. I mean, the All-Star break, lose Ryan Weathers, lose Yu Darvish, lose Blake Snell. Basically only have 2 starting pitchers right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's such a weird, weird feeling and weird first half because the record sounds amazing. And unlucky for us, the Giants are playing incredible baseball. The Dodgers are who we thought they were and who we expected them to be. So overall, we're sitting in third place in the NL West. Our expected win loss was 55-38. So we're kind of right there. Yeah, we're close, but again, underperforming. And the most frustrating part is the fact that we play up to our competition, 28-21 against teams above 500, but we also play down to our competition and make opposing pitchers look like Cy Young Award winners when we should be all over them. So that's the biggest thing that for me, as I look back on the season so far, and it worries me because obviously, like I just touched on, the pitching is depleted. Doesn't really matter who we pick up if we're just going to continue to play streaky baseball and play up and down to our competition. We just can't do it. I mean, the Giants have beat up on the worst teams that they've played. The Dodgers have beat up on the worst teams that they've played, and we just haven't done that this season. So I don't know. It's bittersweet. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah,
it's
a little misleading in a sense.
Exactly. And you know, like, they've played good again, 53-40, but they've left so much to be desired so far. So yeah, I guess frustrating is the word, but also hopeful and optimistic. The trade deadline is going to be pretty telling about where this team's going to go, but ultimately it's a mentality thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with how young the team is. You look at teams like the Dodgers and even the Giants. I mean, that's a team full of veterans and old players. I think it's the oldest team in baseball, and they're playing like veterans. They're winning the games that they need to. They have the right approach at the plate, and the Padres just seem to, I think the streakiness comes from a lot of that, just the youth on the team. And I think this year and in the coming years, they'll get to that point. But right now you're seeing a lot of that youth, and there's a lot to figure out in this next half.
Yeah. Yeah. No, hello. Little voice crackage right there. Jacob, I need to edit that baby out. Maybe not. But so just doing a quick little bit of math, and based off of if we were to completely replicate what we've done in the first half, we would be a 92-70 team at the end of 162. So when you look at it that way, looks pretty damn good. You know, before the season started, I think our predictions was, I want to say 96-98 wins was about what we were around. Yeah. So we'd be a few games under that. The main thing though is we kind of skidded into the All-Star break too. So we really got to make sure that we take this time off, this opportunity to just reset and do not have that carryover. Just hit the ground running. Let's, you know, start good. Let's start on a win streak. Let's go catch some Giants. Because we're going to have to play good ball. 6 games back against the Giants. We've been saying time and time again, we thought that there is going to be a regression from San Francisco, and I don't think there is. I mean, they might have a little bit of a dip here and there, but they are proving that over half the year they've continued this pace. So I do not think that there's going to be a regression from San Francisco. Obviously with the Dodgers, they just lost a starting pitcher there, absolute dirtbag. So they're going to have a little bit of a hole to fill, which I'm sure they'll probably go out in the trade market before the trade deadline and pick up an arm there as well. So it'll be really interesting to see what these teams do come the end of July as well. So whenever the trade deadline is, it's like July 30th or 31st, 28th, something like that. That'll be a big date on the calendar too, because we'll see what reinforcements are coming. I think we need a little bit of mix up. We've talked about it many times before. Mateo doesn't need to be on this roster. Hosmer could, you know, at least platoon a little bit, although he has been heating up quite a lot in the last 15 games. I think he's hitting at like a 320 clip. Defensively, not so much. So hopefully the DH comes to the NL next year, considering the contract that we still have with him. So hopefully we can get more out of him, because as much as he's been doing terribly and as much as everyone doesn't like him, he's a big part in this team. And if he's clicking, then the team is playing better, obviously. So, you know, there's a lot of things to figure out. You know, Will's got to have a little bit more of a consistent second half and whatnot, but there's, you know, a ton of positives to focus on. Tatis is somehow exceeding expectations. He's almost meeting them. It just goes to show you how much our expectations for this team have increased so rapidly, because, you know, like we were saying, 2 years ago, we were horrible. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, after not even playing a full season last year, we're kind of disappointed in a 53-40 start to the first half of the season. So pretty cool to have that expectation, because as a San Diego sports fan, we've never really had one, at least for the Padres, in quite a while. So good to see that. But overall, in the first half, 12-9 against the Diamondbacks and Rockies, not good enough, to be honest. We're going to have to flip that around, because we're playing them quite a lot in the second half of the season. And then the bullpen, like we've said time and time again as well, they have been taxed tremendously. I'm pretty sure that we're still first in the league in innings pitched for our bullpen. Drew Pomeranz with a little bit of forearm inflammation, which I know he's been on the shelf quite a couple times this season already. Hopefully that is not Tommy John. We do not need that at all. Keone Keller went down. Good sign. Well, Lamet just went down again. Good sign is Matt Strom looks like he's revving up to come back, hopefully mid to late July. So that'll be a much needed piece, almost like a acquisition in itself right there, just to get some help in the bullpen, maybe in the starting rotation from Strom. So
how much of a splash do you think we're going to make in the free agency market?
So if you were to ask me that about 7 to 10 days ago, I would have said probably maybe between 1 and 3 moves, take the average, maybe 2 moves. I think we're looking at more of 3 to 4 now, just with the recent injuries of this past weekend. Really, like you said, you went on the shelf. Weathers is going to be out to early August. Paddock is still pitching, but I was at that game on Wednesday. That's the reason we didn't record last week. We don't need to do any analysis on that. He was horrible. And then, yeah, Blake hasn't been good, / he's been a little banged up. I mean, he's had stomach issues, maybe not banged up, might not be the right words for that, but he hasn't been playing at least. So starting pitching all of a sudden needs a void that has a void that needs to be filled. Like we said, Lamet's out again, which we weren't really relying on him to go the full 162 as well. But so I definitely think that they're going to, at a very least, add a starting pitcher and a bullpen piece. And with that being said, they're probably going to add some sort of utility or outfielder with that as well. So I'm thinking about 3 moves. We just went pretty heavy in the draft right now, like a lot of their picks. Obviously you see where those go. So Preller's restocking the system as we speak. So I wouldn't be surprised if some guys get traded away down there. I will say though, that he did comment during the draft that he expects Mackenzie Gore to be a piece this season. So that tells me right there that unless something comes to where he just can't say no to a trade, it looks like Gore is going to remain on the Padres this season, at least, despite his issues in AAA and his blister issues as well. So I expect now Mackenzie Gore to be on the team still come the latter half of the year. And that's probably because of the pitching injuries that we've had as well. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, like a Luis Campusano or someone high up like that, like Tucapito Marcano as well, to be dealt to get some of these bigger name guys. So I honestly think that he's gonna go with it and just strike while the iron's hot. You know how AJ operates.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously we're gonna make some moves. I don't think they're the big moves a lot of people are thinking of. I think it's gonna be more of a try to add depth, obviously starting pitching and some utility kind of fielding, but not a big move. I think if we were completely healthy, it would be a big signing. But you look at our team and we have two starting pitchers right now. We're pretty depleted. Yeah. We're definitely going to make moves, but I don't know. I feel like, don't get me wrong, I'm hopeful. I think this team can make a World Series run. But it's going to take a lot of things to go right and a lot of people stay off the injured list, and that just hasn't been the case this year. So I don't see Preller basically putting it all on the line to get those big acquisitions right now. I think we're still looking towards a all-out season of next year. But yeah, I think obviously pitching is the big one, but I don't know. I wouldn't expect a huge overhaul or a huge trade like last season where we were involved with all those crazy trades and basically rebuilt the entire team in a matter of a week. I don't see that happening this year. I think it's going to be more of a, we're going to pick up some guys to keep a solid lineup together and fill some voids and see what happens. Hopefully we can play better ball, less streaky ball, and make our way to the playoffs. I mean, if you look at it right now, that being said, we would be playing the Dodgers to get into the playoffs if the season ended today. Obviously, a lot of baseball would be played.
Yep.
And I like our chances against them. I think we're kind of jumping ahead here, but as far as predictions go, I think 92 and 70 that you touched on is pretty spot on, maybe a little bit below that. I think we do sneak in to the wild card, and I think we have a team that can win a couple games. I don't know. A lot comes down to injuries. Excuse me. And, again, how resilient this team can be, but we're definitely a playoff team, and I think we can shake off some victories in the end. But I think 92 and 70 sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, and I think that AJ's moves at the deadline are really dependent on how quick we start after the All-Star break as well. If we come out and we continue what we've been doing before the break and go, you know, 6-10 or, you know, 7-9 or something like that, I think he may look to kind of do what you're saying and just have a couple more little acquisitions here and there just to see how it rolls the last bit of the year. But if we put ourselves in a good pole position come the end of July, I feel like maybe he'll be more trigger happy in that sense too. So it's really dependent on how we get going after this All-Star break. But yeah, definitely, like, that was a great point. When you put it that way, I could totally see that happening as well, because I know that we've depleted the system a lot in the last, you know, year and a half as well. So who knows, if we're not like right in prime position, maybe AJ's going to want to hold on to those guys for another 6 months, year, something like that, and then go from there, see where they develop all the newer guys. So
yeah, it's just unfortunate because of the division we're in and
yeah,
where we've ended up in the last couple of weeks. If we could have played some better ball and just stayed a little more healthy, it'd be a completely different conversation. But I think it's going to be more of a, we'll get some guys to fill the roster out and we'll see what happens, instead of a, let's make a push because this is the year. You know, we're kind of in that awkward space between those two. So that's that. Yeah, I think a lot of people unfortunately gonna be disappointed with the acquisitions we make, but I think AJ Preller knows what he's doing, and it's really gonna come down to the guys. We have a pretty solid roster, as we all know, so they're really just gonna have to put it together, and it's gonna come down to the Hosmers of the team. Obviously Manny, Fernando have been doing their thing, and Manny's starting to heat up. So it's just going to come down to them to earn those contracts and play good ball down the stretch.
Agreed. With that being said, first half of the season, Who is your MVP of that first half?
I mean, it's got to be Fernando. I want you to pick someone else. So think of someone else, because I'm just going to say Fernando is obvious. He's transcended the game of baseball, the face of baseball, hitting 286, 364 on base, 656 slugging, 102 OPS with 28 home runs, all while missing around 18 games this season. I mean, he continues to just be incredible. Needs to clean up the defense, obviously. He knows that. Everyone knows that. We're not going to spend too much time talking about it, but he is the absolute spark plug of this team, and he continues to just do incredible things. So the obvious choice, I just had to go out and say it, but he's clearly the team MVP.
Yeah, no, I don't think you could really go against that. I mean, you could throw Melanson in there, although he's been kind of not doing his best the last few weeks. You could throw Yu Darvish in there. He's been the ace that we've been looking for, although, you know, he did have a bad start against the Nationals as well. Tatis amazingly missed like 10 games or 15 games or whatever the case it was, and he's the MVP for this team in the first half. My prediction at the beginning of the year was Manny Machado, who has been picking it up as of late. But I think if I'm going to pick a guy right now other than Tatis, you have to go with Jay Cronenworth. He is hitting 276 on the year with 12 dingers, 34 RBIs, 4 stolen bases with an 809 OPS, 340 at-bats. I think he's maybe missed one game. He's played 91 games this year. And our record is 53-40. So he's played in every single game except for two of them. So, you know, availability is your best ability sometimes. And with that being said, he is consistent with that. He hasn't needed any time off. He's filled in at first when Hosmer's needed a few breaks because he hasn't been performing up to snuff at the time. Or, you know, he's got even gone over to shortstop, if I'm not mistaken, for like a game. I know Kim's kind of that guy that bounces around more than Cronenworth, but Cronenworth's really been on that right side of the diamond. And I think you got to give it to him. I mean, he got the nod for the All-Star game. Thank goodness. After that first round of voting, he deserved it entirely. I think he should have started, in our opinion. But I got to throw Jake out there for my MVP if it's not Fernando Tatis Jr. right now.
Yeah, and it's great to see the fan response to him and all the love, and everyone in baseball is starting to really understand how special this kid is. So hard to disagree with you there. Cy Young, it's pretty easy here. Yeah. I guess if you're going to go, Paddock. No, I mean, obviously it's Darvish, but I'd like to go Tim Hill. I mean, he's been the unsung hero of this bullpen. Whenever we need him, he seems to step up, and he's kind of a shutdown guy. Him, I know Austin Adams, his numbers can be a little deceiving, but I love Austin Adams too. But obviously, if we're going to go Cy Young, Yu Darvish, right?
Yeah, you got to go Yu Darvish. I think Musgrove kind of gets a little bit of a honorable mention. Just with the no-no, and then he's had his ERA is still pretty damn good. He's got some great strikeouts, really good whip. He just has to elongate his innings a couple times in the season, so hopefully he can do that come the second half. But I'd say honorable mention would be Joe Musgrove, like I said, especially with that no-no. But 100% agree with you, it's been Yu Darvish. He's been the absolute ace that this squad has needed, and hopefully he can just take a start off and get back out there, because he's been huge for this team. Biggest disappointment, I think I know who you're going to go with. A lot of people will agree with you. Who is your biggest disappointment, Los, from the first half of the season?
I don't think you know who I'm going to go with. I would say, there's three that come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Chris Paddock. And I know that's kind of out of left field, because there wasn't a whole lot of expectation out of him to begin with, but he had a couple of starts there where it looked like he might've been turning a corner, and him turning a corner would have been gigantic for this team, considering where our starting pitching is. But he's not the guy. Mental head case. The stuff is inconsistent. Still can't hit his spots. And I just don't know where the Padres go from here with him. I don't know what his trade value is. I he's still a good piece, I guess, but he's not who we need him to be right now. And I know there's more obvious people that you can go with here, and I know you're going to name one of them. But for me, he would have just been such an X factor for this starting rotation, especially all things considered going on with the team. And it's tough to watch. And it all culminated on that game you went to where he just absolutely got shelled. So I'm going to go Paddock here.
We were talking on air before we started recording, and I told you how that was probably the worst starting pitching performance I've ever seen live. It was that bad. It was absolutely terrible. He could not, when he found the zone, he threw it right down the middle. When he couldn't find the zone, he got pulled because he couldn't field a bunt from Robbie Ray. Remember his name? Heck yeah. Who used to be on the Diamondbacks. And it just was not his night at all. And like you said, he was rounding a corner. It looked like come, you know, middle, end of May, was pitching really well. And then his last two starts have just been terrible. So he was your first impression, Rose, too, way back when. So not living up to that first impression, Rose. It's getting a little wilted now. But, you know, I'm actually not going to go with who you thought as well, who I thought you were going to go with. And I'll tell you why in 1 second. I'm going to go with Blake Snell. And coming into the season, there was much discussion who should be the ace of this squad, who should be the opening day starter. Should it be Yu Darvish or should it be Blake Snell? And Blake Snell was absolutely on fire in spring training. I think the first runs he gave up was his last start of spring. Just looked like he was absolutely commanding every pitch that he had, came in, had a point to prove. You know, he went over from the Rays, right? As I'm saying this, the AL just beat the NL 5-2. So the NL is inferior again in the All-Star game for whatever reason. But anyways, Blake Snell, he at home, he's been pretty good. Away, we keep saying it, he's been absolutely horrendous. And he really has to pick it up. If we have any chance of going deep in the playoffs, getting to the playoffs, he needs to be the Blake Snell that we thought that we were going to get. We've seen flashes of it, but he's just got to find that consistency. So for me, it's going to be Blake Snell.
That's actually who I was going to say and who I knew you were going to say.
Okay. Well,
it doesn't need to be said how disappointing Hosmer is, but I know he had a good year last year, but I don't really expect much out of him. So he kind of is what I think he is at this point.
Hosmer's at least produced at the dish at times, though. He was our hottest hitter in April.
He was. He had a good start, so but
He's had some moments where he's actually produced. He's, you know, had that clutch 2-out home run. I know that his defense has been horrible for a 4-time Gold Glover, but to me, Hosmer has been way more productive than Blake Snell and Chris Paddock for that matter too. So I definitely think that it's right that we named those two because our poor bullpen, because those two guys are getting taxed the way they are. So
yeah, I think Snell is the biggest disappointment. I just kind of wanted to go with someone else that I wish would have had a better start. And I see a bleak future for Paddock and Hosmer, but I still believe in Blake. I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously strikeout pitcher and a lot of 3-0 counts. Everyone knows that. Everyone talks about that. But
yeah,
I think it's something mental too. I just don't think he's comfortable yet in San Diego. And I don't know what his relationship with Rothschild is, but I don't know. He just seems uncomfortable. And I think he's kind of not a mental head case like Paddock, but I think it's a little mental as well. He's just trying to do a little too much. And he's just trying to find his spot on this team.
Yeah.
So who do you think is going to break out in the second half?
I'm going to go with Manny Machado. I've seen him heating up. I know it's the easy choice. I probably should go with someone that, you know, isn't as easy. I'm going to go quick answer Manny Machado because of how he's been ramping up to this All-Star break. So that'll be my quick answer. Who I really think is going to break out. I'm not going to steal your guy. I'm going to go Trent Grisham. If he can stay healthy, I think that he's going to be an absolute catalyst for this team. He already is. You could see how poorly we perform when he's been on the IL and he hasn't been in the lineup every day. Because, like, smoothest, swaggiest center fielder I've almost ever seen. The nonchalantness every time, still to this day, it gets me. Like, he runs up, throws his glove up the last second. Like, the other day, he ran probably a good, 100 feet on the run, snags it last second, and just without even trying, just flicks it to Fam. He just looks so cool out there. And he plays gold glove level defense. So
yeah,
long answer. I'm going to go Trent Grisham just because I think if he can stay healthy, he's just going to absolutely go on a tear.
He is the swaggiest player, period. I love everything he does is so cool. Just the way he like flips his bat up and walking in the play. Like everything about him is cool. I like that pick. Even if he doesn't get hot at the plate, I mean he's such a stud out there, and he brings so much to this team. Manny's the obvious choice, like you said. Last 30 days, 330 average, 419 on base, 614 slugging. He's crushing right now. I think Tommy Pham's going to continue to do his thing. Last 30 days, 290 average, 350 on base, 505 slugging. I think the power is going to continue to get better, like we've talked about, like he's talked about. But his approach at the plate just continues to impress, and I think he's hitting his stride. I think he is the guy at the top of the lineup, and I'm expecting big things out of him. So that's my guy. We'll circle back on it and see how wrong we were or right we were towards the end of the season. I think hopefully the latter. We're gonna wrap up here pretty quick, but let's end on a good note. I know I myself have been pretty pessimistic on this podcast, even though we're 53-40, a lot to be excited about. Let's go favorite memory so far at the half. I'm gonna start with mine. It's got to be, for me, just the Dodger series, how well we've played them.
I do love a good Dodger series.
Yeah, we've been dwelling on how bad we stooped down to our competition, but there's been nothing better than to see the boys step up playing against the Dodgers, sweeping them in the most recent series that we've played against them. They're scared. They know that we're here to stay. We're here to play, that we can match up with them toe-to-toe. And I mean, it's awesome to see. Awesome to see the stadium filled with brown and yellow and drown out those Frauder fans. So that's got to be up there for me. Obviously, the no-no is up there. I don't know if that one was going to be yours, but the Dodger series is huge for me this season. It's showing a lot of growth in this team.
Yeah, I mean, just how quickly that's transcended from even getting knocked out of the playoffs last year by them, and then just. I think we at least lost or split every series, albeit it was only a few last season as well to them. You could tell we weren't quite there. And this year, I think it's been a little bit of like a bubble pop after we play the Dodgers, because we look forward to it so much. And then after, it seems like they're just absolutely gassed. But yeah, no, those Dodger series, I mean, I felt like we played them 8 times in April. It was just insane. The games felt like a playoff atmosphere in April. They were like 4 or 5 hour long games. It was fantastic. So to see them doing well against them is awesome. For me, like you said, it's got to be the no-no. I just remember losing my mind when he got that last out in Texas there, and just how long we've waited as Padres fans for that moment to be able to see it live on TV and to live that was pretty cool. Still couldn't buy my Musgrove jersey from China, unfortunately, that same night. We were all trying to buy like 4 jerseys, and it just wasn't happening. There wasn't any yet. Now you see them all over the place because of that no-no, but we were trying to snatch a couple. Unfortunately, didn't happen. But yeah, that's got to be my favorite memory of the year so far. And then yeah, the Camarena grand slam against Scherzer most recently, Daniel Slamarena, thank you Sophie for that one. He that was probably the most unexpected moment of the season so far, possibly around baseball. So that would definitely be like my honorable mention for that one too.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. It was a pretty incredible game. I think I'm going to finish off with the swag chain. I know we've kind of gone back and forth on if it's something we should do when we're playing like absolute dog. Yeah. But I mean, for better or worse, it's kind of symbolic of what the Padres are now. I mean, you look at the home run derby last night, for example, and they put a home run derby swag chain that spins on Pete Alonso. There was an ad today all yep. about the swag chain, and it's very Padres, and we are the team. I know we talk about face being Tatis, but everyone's doing something like that now, and it just shows how much of an influence this team has, how much fun they have together. And I really hope that Manny's getting a percentage of all the sales, because it's hilarious to see. Obviously the little kids want one, and you see that throughout the stadium, but I love seeing like grown ass adults wearing swag chains. Like it's awesome. It's hysterical. I don't know if I'll ever buy one or rock one, but I love to see people fully embracing it. And it's a league wide thing. Everyone seems to love it. And if they hate on it, they're just jealous that their team doesn't have this swag that the Padres have.
It's true. Created and designed by Manny Machado too, by the way, give the man some credit. He's taken the MLB over. Yeah. Like you said, it's been all over the All-Star game, like from the home run derby yesterday, like you said, for Pete Alonso, who I don't even want to get into his antics. I can't stand the guy. And then they've done like some specific bits just over different break stoppages in the All-Star game today and whatnot. And then, you know, Nationals had their like key lanyard thing, and the Rockies came out with a really kind of like Dollar Tree swag chain thing and stuff like that. But it's not the fact that those aren't the same, because the one that Manny made is just so legit, you can't even touch it or beat it in that sense. But yeah, now everyone's trying to like recreate that idea, just because it's so cool, and it's been so transcending for not only for the Padres but for the entire game, and just to like, you know, have fun and celebrate and just, you know, show off some swag after you deservedly get to. So it's been pretty cool. And like, yeah, I can't remember the last time that the Padres have been at the forefront of some movement. So kind of cool to see that transpire.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a good second half. I'm looking at it a little negative right now, but Friar faithful, always hopeful for this team. I think there are World Series aspirations still. They're just going to have to play some good ball. And luckily we have 69 games left, third easiest strength of schedule. Ooh. Again, we can't stoop down to our opponents though, and I think the boys are going to figure it out. So 92-70, hopefully they outperform what I'm assuming, and we will be in the playoffs come October.
Yeah, I think we're going to go 94-68. That's going to be my record there. Going to get the first wild card slot above the Dodgers. I think the Giants are going to hang on just with that six-game cushion.
That's pretty bold, but I love it.
Bold.
Jotted down. We'll check these in a couple months. But as always, go Pods. Let's start this second half.
Real quick. I almost forgot. Sorry. You recreate that. Sam Riebel, congratulations on the wedding. Our man in the UK just got married last week or 2 weeks ago. So congrats, bro. Really happy for you and Victoria. Sorry to cut you off there. I didn't want to end that because you were ending that so sweet.
Congrats, bro. But go Pods as always. Second half is ours. Let's freaking go.
Let's go. Go Pods.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast, the People's Podcast. The Podfathers is produced by Los and Walls. Our show is executively produced by Jacob Lamb.
Our theme song is A Bubba by Trilock. To get in touch with the show, follow us on Twitter at Podfathers619 or email us at podfathers@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major audio platforms.
Go Pods!